Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture and something that I think will really help us take some great steps with the Lord and His plan. How many of you know God has a plan for your life? He has a plan. The Bible tells us it is a good plan. For God says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, right? Now, that plan does not come to pass without our participation. And much of the participation of the plan of God for our life is that you and I grow up into that plan, all right? There were things that I knew that God had given me a glimpse of when I was 16 years old, 20 years old, 23 years old. And the reason why God gave me a glimpse of those was, in a sense, to have a target. But He certainly didn't place me in those places because there is no way I could have done that. Because I had a whole lot of growing up to do to get there. All right. If you have raised children, you understand this, right? And so, you know, a little boy at 8 years old, he may say, I'm going to be an airline pilot. And actually, now, it's awesome. Ladies are airline pilots. Isn't that great? I was flying last year, and a lady said, hi, this is your chief pilot, da-da-da-da. I'm like, go girl, you know? So, but how many of you know an eight-year-old doesn't fly planes, okay? And it's not just that they don't have the skills, but they've got to grow up. All right. But there can be a purpose. There can be a possibility, but we need to grow up into that. And this passage in the book of Hebrews, it speaks to this progression in our life that God wants for every person, whether you're going to be a pilot or a pastor. All right. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And it's in a passage speaking about Jesus being our high priest. And really the entire book of Hebrews, one of my favorite books in the whole Bible, is about the superiority of Jesus, the superiority of our covenant that we have because of Jesus. So it's talking about this high priest, Jesus, called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. All right. Now, The book of Hebrews was written to not a city or a church, but it was written to Jewish believers at wherever they were. Okay. One of the few books of the Bible that we really have very, very little evidence about who wrote it. All right. Some people think it's Paul. Some people think Peter. Some people say even Priscilla and Aquila wrote it. But it came from the Holy Spirit, thankfully for that. But so it's written to these Jewish believers, and he says, there's some things I'd like to say, but I can't. Do you remember Jesus said that a few times? I'd like to say this to you, but you're not in a position to receive those. And then they go on to explain that a bit in verse 12. It says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. So he's using an analogy of a physical baby and a physical person, right? We don't give little babies rice and chicken, right? We don't, because their bodies literally cannot handle it. All right. Their bodies have not been developed to receive that type of food. Now, one day they will, but it's not in the beginning. And so they get milk. All right. So he's using this analogy. He said, I've got to actually go back and give you milk, even though you should be having solid food. In fact, you should actually be teaching those same things. All right. Verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So there's some things that as you grow up, you begin for yourself to understand what is good and what is evil. Well, our church says you shouldn't do that. Well, your church, what about you? Do you know what's good and evil? Do you know what is helpful and what is harmful in your life? Now, again, that's another characteristic of little kids. They don't understand what is helpful and what is harmful. We have to tell them that, right? Little boys play with electricity and they do all kinds of funny things. So you have to instruct them what's good and what is evil. But when you grow up, you know those things for yourself and you can make those decisions. Go into chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. The doctrine of baptisms. Now, isn't it interesting? We heard a wonderful message on faith last week, didn't we? Wonderful message. That's milk. That's milk. You can trust God because he's trustworthy. His word is good. But that's kind of what we learn in the beginning. All right. And thank God I eat meat, but I still eat milk. I had milk this morning. All right. In my coffee and my cereal. All right. So we still have milk is a wonderful thing. Repentance from dead works and a faith toward God, the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And of this we will do if God permits. So the author of Hebrews is talking about a spiritual journey, a spiritual development that we go on. There's things that we learn, there's things that we go on to, and there are things that we do that we didn't used to be able to do when we were little, when we were underdeveloped. Now, this morning at Miracle Life, so if we've got 1,300 folks here this morning, I recognize that so many people, we are all at different places of our spiritual journey. And, you know, if you came from a home where there were a certain number of children, how many of you know that, you know, you didn't expect the 4-year-old to be where the 16-year-old was? And in a home, you kind of understood that. And in many, many homes, as you kind of get older and you get bigger, you begin to kind of reach back and help the younger, don't you? All right. So in a family, we understand that and we have different expectations for different people depending on where they are and where they are in their development. Okay. And, I grew up with two older brothers, and so they were, they were just the most awesome, and really still today, they're just awesome. They're big brothers. All right. Trying to get the firstborn here. We've invited him to Africa and invite him anyway. So hopefully he'll come one of these days. But I respect him. I look up to him. And so they've always been my big brothers. All right. And so my parents expected certain things from them that they didn't expect from me. All right. And at a certain age, I don't know if I needed the attention. I just guess I was just a rank sinner. But anyway, I would always pick on my older brother. And I pick on him until we start fighting. And then he was way bigger and he'd pound me to, you know. And then I'd cry to mom and then he would get in trouble. I think that was part of my reasoning, you know. But she expected more from him because he was older. And as I grew, she expected more from me. And at some point we realize when we come into the kingdom of God, all of us, if we kind of think back, and you know, I know some of your testimonies, I heard somebody's testimony this morning. There was something in our life where we realized we needed a savior, right? Could have been a sermon. It could have been something. There was an awakening. For many, many people, it's sometimes when life kind of hits rock bottom. If not rock bottom, you certainly hit a rock, okay? And you just realize, I don't have what it takes to get out of this. Or I'm a sinner. I'm going to spend eternity without God. And so we reach out for a savior. And really our motivation in that first step of our spiritual journey, it's about us, isn't it? All right. I remember when I got saved, there was no thought that, God, I want to be a pastor one day. I just didn't want to go to hell. All right. I just didn't want to be frustrated. All right. There was a concern for my life and my well-being. All right. So we come into the kingdom of God and we find out, wow, we have a good, good father. He's a father who cares. He's a father who provides. And we start to, here's what sometimes happens in the early Christian life is So we kind of wanted to, you know, maybe have an occupation or career or be able to handle our money well. We wanted to have relationships, you know, maybe get married, raise our kids. And when we go to God's word, we discover, wow, all of those things he can help us with. And if my finances were a mess, he has answers. Now, here's the tricky thing. He has answers for things that I kind of already want. Right? So I, you know, you go to the movies enough, you want a good marriage, right? You grew up in a broken home, you want a good marriage. Well, why do you want a good marriage? Because I want a good marriage. Oh, wow. I can figure out how to have a good marriage. But see, there's a time in our Christian journey where it's not just about us having milk all the time, but it's about gaining strength that our life can make a difference for someone else. And as much as having a marriage is great and having a good marriage is great, when you really begin to study the scriptures, you find another purpose for marriage, a higher purpose for marriage. And you know what it is? It's to reflect the glory of God. It is to show, it is the greatest testimony to a crazy world, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. I know a couple in this church that when they go to family gatherings, and very, very few of those marriages are good when they go to these big, big family gatherings, and this one's cheated on that one, this one's on that one, then the fourth wife, the second husband, da-da-da-da, it's just it's quite a drama. And somebody will pull them aside and, you know, this guy and say, "Wow. How is it you can have one woman for 12 years? What's wrong with you?" Jesus, Jesus, the glory of God. Amen. And so our life, as we develop in God, as we go on this journey with God, are our needs being met 100%? He's a father. He's our creator. But there comes a time, and this is what the author of Hebrews said, is by now, you should be a teacher. By now, you should have taken what you've learned, and it's not just about you having that knowledge, but that knowledge should be in other people by now. Your life was meant to be a blessing for someone else by now. By now. Now, how many of you know if you go to somebody's house and there's a three-year-old, you don't expect that, you know, three-year-old to be, you know, speaking Italian and Greek? Right? Unless their parents are Italian and Greek, then I guess that's okay, right? But we understand that at that age, by now, if they're 3 years old, you're happy if they're alive. You're happy if they have all of their fingers. They haven't done anything to, you know, chop off their ears. But at 5 year old, by now, they should be doing such and such. And if you go to the doctor and they kind of look and they say, well, I'm a little troubled that your child is 5 years old and they're not walking. Because by now, they should be walking. How many of you know the doctor doesn't have that expectation at 3 months? Because at 3 months, everybody knows you can't walk at 3 months. All right. But in our Christian journey, God the Father has expectations of us. He has expectations of us. By now, Walker, by now, you know, if I went to your house and we were having tea or something like that, there was a loud noise coming from the other room and I was distracted. You know, that's Johnny. Johnny's our 34-year-old son. And, he just loves to play video games all day. And, you know, you go in there and bring him cookies and Coke and bring him the newspaper. You know what I'm going to think? 34 years old. By now, Johnny shouldn't be playing video games all day long in mommy's house. Go back and get the parenting series, okay? Now, how many of you know that some moms, you know, when the baby begins to now be able to have solid food, some moms will, you know, they'll chew the food and they'll give it to the baby, right? Some moms will do that. And that makes a whole lot of sense, all right? But if I go to your house and 34-year-old Johnny has done playing, you know, he's had his eight 8-hour stint of video game, you know, for the day. And we go to sit down for supper, and you're chewing his steak and putting it in his mouth. Oh, but that's what parents do for children. No, 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 no. They used to do that for children. By now, Johnny should be eating his food for himself. Everybody say, by now. By now. All right. So there is an expectation that God has in our spiritual journey. Walker, by now. By now. By now. All right. Now, here's the thing. I am not here to tell you what those expectations are, but I would venture to believe they're higher than you think. I would venture to believe that they are sooner than you think. Okay? You hear this in the words of Jesus. So he got 12 disciples, right? And they were rough around the edges, right? One was a political zealot. One was a hothead, prone to violence. Another two brothers, they just wanted to be the big dogs and everything, you know. So they had lots of issues, lots of problems, all right? But when he gave them certain assignments, in that 3-year time, that's not a long time, 3 years, he would get disappointed. Ah, you faithless generation, how long am I going to put up with you? What was he saying? By now, right? You can progress in God. And one of the progressions and one of those points is, and it's a big point of our life that will always be there, is that by now, you should be teachers. By now, your life should be making a difference for someone else. All right? And just like as a child in this world, there were a whole lot of years where you were a liability. You were an expense going somewhere to happen. You were a black hole of school fees, just sucking them into your orbit, right? Of food and of this and of that. But that's not your whole life. All right. We go to school so that by now we can make a difference. We can actually add to the economy instead of sucking from the economy. Okay? And that's God's plan for all of us. All of us. All right? We grow up, we understand some of these basic things, and we always, you know, even those basic things, we need refreshing, we need to realign our hearts with that. But by this time, you ought to be. Let me read it to you from the New Living Translation. Verse 12 of Hebrews 5. You have been believers so long now, you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things of God's word. So the idea that the author of Hebrews is saying is we're actually past due. Okay? That this is beyond the average time. This is beyond the expectation of God. All right? So in that progression, there are things that are just, in a sense, odd or strange. Okay, so again, you go to somebody's house, 34-year-old Johnny, and mommy's chewing his food, putting on his plate. Oh, thank you, mommy. Oh, mommy, I love you. Okay, there's some other things that my wife and I saw in other people's homes. I can't really tell on a Sunday morning. But anyway, we would come away from that home. We'd get in the car and we'd be like, that was weird. That son, right? Is it just me or was that weird? No, that was weird. Okay? And I think we have to be honest about our spiritual progression, our spiritual journey with God, that there, sometimes in our life, that's weird. By now. Now, here's the wonderful thing about God as a father. He doesn't fire you as a son. All right? He's a patient, long-suffering father. Okay, but we can accept this challenge to say that, hey, God, you know what? Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you provide. Thank you that you do all these things. But Father, I'm going to take a step on purpose in my progression with you that by now some of these things can take place. All right. Look at another scripture with me. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I think for my wife and I, we are becoming more and more aware of this. It's helping us. Our kids are 20 and 22, all right? And so by now, right, there's certain expectations. And one of the things that we are seeing with our own kids is that they are beginning more and more to be a blessing to others. And as much as it really does us proud. I mean, I got off the phone with my daughter. We were Skyping this week, and she told me this story. And I hung up the phone, and I ran to find my wife. Oh, man, you got to hear this. You got to hear this. And then she says, I'm telling that at Rhema tomorrow. I'm bragging on my daughter tomorrow, you know. And so it in a sense, it kind of does us proud, right? But it's more than the family name. You know what it is? It's normal life. That should be happening, right? And if it's not, guess what? It's weird. It's strange. Because by now, because here, look at Ephesians 2:10. It's normal. Ephesians 2:10, New Living Translation. For we are God's masterpiece. That's pretty good if the verse ended right there. All right? We're his masterpiece, but then he explains what that is. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. And aren't you glad it's new? Because the old walker, ugh, I wasn't a masterpiece. That was a hideous creature from the deep, all right? He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. See, when we were born physically, when we were born again spiritually, God had ideas. Amen? The Bible says that we were predestined to become like Jesus. That is, that the destination was already set. All right? If you get on an airplane, aren't you glad? Yeah, I hope you believe in predestination. That is, you don't get up in the air and they say, well, how many of you want to go to Dubai? Should we stop in Nairobi first? No, the destination has already been set. All right, now, there could be a hijacking. There could be a crash. There could be something that could keep you from the destination. All right, but the destination's already set, and it is set by God. All right, what's the destination? To be like Jesus. The good things he has planned for us to do. See, when we were born physically, and this is the amazing thing about our bodies, is that in our DNA was already the height that you were going to be. All right? I remember one time I was ushering at a big convention, and there was a guy that, let's just say he wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. All right? His lift did not go to the top floor. Anyway, we were talking and everything. And I'm 6'5", but he, kind of what we heard last week with Reverend Tokes, and we were just chatting. He said, he was a short guy, fully grown, balding head. He said, I'm 6'5", and I have the body of Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I'm thinking, oh, he thinks he can just like say anything, and it'll happen. You see, we confess God's word, right? When we're talking about confession, we confess what he says. And there's nowhere in the Bible that it promises you can be 6'5", right? But he kind of was misunderstood about that. Because when based on who his mom and dad were, that height was pre-wired. It was already in the DNA, okay? And, if your hair is falling out, well, your hair is falling out, right? If your ears are big, sorry. And people have told me that your ears keep growing. They keep growing until you're old. I don't know what, I'm going to have plastic surgery one day. I don't know what's going to happen if my ears keep growing. All right. I just fly away, you know. It's in your DNA. It's who you are. All right. And isn't it always funny when we see children of parents and we're actually amazed and we're shocked and we say this, oh, they look just like you. Yeah, that's how it, if you went to biology class, that's how it works, right? We're supposed to resemble Jesus. He's the firstborn among many brethren. We have that DNA inside of us, all right, to be a blessing, that our life would make a difference for someone else. Let me read it, that same verse, Ephesians 2:10 from the Message Bible. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does. The good work he has gotten ready for us to do. Work we had better be doing. Everybody say, by now. All right. So he calls us into the work that he is doing. Isn't it interesting that many, many times we want God to kind of join us in the work we are doing? Hey, God, you know, kind of join my group. We'll hang together and you can help me be the me I want to be. No, we're supposed to be the me that he wants us to be. All right? We join him in the work that he is doing on planet Earth. And it's to help relieve suffering. It's to help reverse the mess that's down here. In one way or another, we're helping him with the work that he is doing. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Now, this was written from a whole different perspective. Galatians was written to a group of people who were trying to do stuff so that they could be more pleasing to God, be more righteous, to, you know, more accepted by God. And Paul is making a really strong defense of that grace is free. Grace is something that you can't, you know, perform for yourself. It's a gift of God. All right. And so he makes this case. But towards the end of this book in Galatians 5, he says, now, there's a purpose for this freedom. OK. Galatians 5:13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Now, one another in this context is other believers. All right. Are we to serve the world? Absolutely. Are we to shine for people who are non-believers? 100%. Absolutely. We're the light of the world. But this passage is saying that we are to serve other brothers and sisters, one another. All right. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. My wife and I had a relative, an unnamed relative. When she was a little girl, she would bite people. When she would get mad, she wouldn't punch or use kung fu. She would just bite them, you know. Teachers tend to not like that in school when you bite people. All right. It wasn't our kids, just in case. All right. But biting hurts, doesn't it? All right. And so we can either serve, we can bless the body of Christ, or as a result of you, there can be chunks of the body that are missing because you went zombie on us, right? And you bit and devoured and hurt and maimed, all right? Listen to it from the Message Bible, verse 13. It's absolutely clear that God has called you to live a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. All right, so we're called to this wonderful life. We're free from sin. We're free from bondage. We're free to know that God loves us and that we're righteous and he's our Father. In that freedom, now that we don't have chains, what do? We get to be a blessing to one another. All right? So we make decisions based on what is going to help the body. What is going to help the family. Right? And some of you understand that in the natural side, right? That when you make decisions in the natural, when you make decisions about your life, one of the things you begin to think about is how is this going to affect the family? Right? And I've been so blessed at Miracle Life many, many, many times when people allow me is one of the leaders in our hospitality, they were a head greeter. And so they got this wonderful opportunity to study in China, to do a master's. And they were so excited. And they told me, Pastor, it's going to be great. Only problem is my wife is going to have to be back here in Zambia for 2 years. Woo, 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 woo. Warning, warning, warning. I said, you know what? I'm so glad that you're going to get a master's. And that sounds like a really cool thing. And come back and you're going to have, you know, you better move up in your career and all that jazz. I said, but you weren't designed to live away from your wife for 2 years. That's not what marriage is. Okay? You don't get married and then live apart for 2 years. It doesn't work. Doesn't work. And I said, hey, let's talk about it. We prayed together. And he, on purpose, began to believe God and trust God that God would give an open a door. And his wife got an open door in China, and they're together, and he emails me, oh, it's so awesome to have my wife, they've got a kid, and he writes me in Chinese on the email, he's so happy, all right, because he began to make his decisions, wait, it's not just about me, what about my wife, what about my kids, all right, my decisions affect someone else, well, I'm free to do whatever, I'm going to be a master's degree holder, I have a destiny. Well, good for you. What about everybody else? How is this going to affect other people? Amen. You know, you get a bonus or a new job or God blesses your business, you know, and it's just my opinion, all right? But I don't believe anywhere that the husband should be driving a Mercedes and the wife should be driving a Corolla. Husbands, that makes you look really bad. That makes you look really bad. Huh? Come on, men, say amen with me. I want it. Men, come on, say amen. 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 Come on, say it. Amen. Amen. Somebody's going to have an interesting lunch today. But, well, good for your new bonus. Good for this. Whoa, time out. What about everybody else? How is this affecting the family? I remember when we lived in South Africa distinctly, all right? And things were really, really tight financially, and we were trusting God, and you know, we were making decisions and everything. And all of a sudden, there was kind of like, oh, wow. There was kind of a little boost in the income, maybe 10, 15%, something like that. And I was like, oh, hallelujah. And I remember specifically the Holy Spirit saying, that money is not just for you. I didn't shout and scream, hallelujah, you know. But it meant it's earmarked for somebody else. It's earmarked for other ministries. It's earmarked to be a blessing to somebody else. All right. Now, at Miracle Life, one of the philosophies that we have is that serving God, loving God, it is not bondage. All right. It is not slavery. All right. And In anything that we ask you to do that we feel is from Scripture, it is never with the idea that it's going to inflict pain upon you. You know, some people say give until it hurts. Well, really, give until it feels good, until you're satisfied in your heart. It's a wonderful thing to serve God. And, you know, as when we built this property and did different things and people contributed, I hope no one felt manipulated, arm twisted. You know, that if you give, then, you know, everything is going to be sunshine and rosy for the rest of your life. Or you can tap my anointing or whatever. Don't tap mine. Go tap somebody else's. They're okay. But we never want to abuse anybody. All right. But in Acts chapter 6, there was a time where the church was growing and leadership realized, wow, there's some stuff that's not happening that we want to have happen. And they said, we can't do both jobs. All right, if we do this, then this is going to suffer. If we do this, then that's going to keep suffering. So they went and found seven men full of the Holy Ghost. And then they were appointed to do that work, and the church began to grow again. All right, and so there, in a growing church, there's always going to be that tension of there's more to do, but we're gonna have to have more people on board to do it. Now, at Miracle Life, and like we said during the offering, financially, I think we have an idea. We understand that everybody does their part. There are no free loaders. There's no free lunches. We all contribute. We all do an appropriate thing. All right. But that's also true in serving. All right. And here's the danger. Once you start serving and giving of your life, it's awesome. And it is fun. It really is fun. And it's fulfilling. Okay. You are designed as a Lamborghini. And some of you are using that Lamborghini just to go to the corner store to get bread. All right. But if you ever got that Lamborghini on the Autobahn, you'd be like, whoa, this feels good. And honestly, the Lamborghini is saying, thank you. I've been waiting to do this. I wasn't designed to go get, bread every day. I've got more capacity than this. All right. But here's a dilemma at Miracle Life is sometimes the people who serve, they serve everywhere. And they get tired. All right. And here's the danger is that we think that tithing is like a ticket of membership to a club where we have cool stuff. All right. You know, one time the Lord blessed us, my wife and I took our kids, we had an anniversary, and there was a place where it was called all-inclusive. So that means breakfast, dinner. You didn't have to pay for it, but you actually did, but you didn't feel like it. You know, so you had all these expectations. You know, if the food was, it's like, why? Because I paid for this. All right. Tithing doesn't qualify for you to have a comfortable seat at church. Well, I bought this chair. Tithing makes you get to join the club of non-thief. Okay? So yay. Yippee. Right? Hallelujah. Okay? So I'm going to contribute financially, but I'm also going to say, where can I help? What can I do? All right? And on a Sunday morning alone, Miracle Life, it takes literally hundreds of people to make this happen. I know this was a few years ago when we just moved into the church, and there was a lady, I pick on men, but this time it was a lady. She actually cursed out, used four-letter words in our parking lot on one of the parking lot workers, I'm sure she's still here and she's sanctified and now she's singing in the choir. I don't know. Hopefully she is, right? But here's the thing, as bad as that is, that's not good, all right? And we've all been frustrated. But here's the thing, sweetie, go put on a jacket and get your lazy backside out of your car and go help. And when you help, now maybe we'll listen to your complaint. Say, I love my pastor. All right. Now, I know some people, when it comes to kind of serving and helping, sometimes people have a fear, all right? And anyone who is probably afraid of a dog means they got bit by a dog. Okay, they had a bad dog experience, all right? And so I've got an awesome dog. It doesn't bite anybody. But if you met my dog and you were afraid, I would say, oh, don't be afraid. But you must have had an experience that, but if you hang out with my dog, then you'll like my dog, all right? And I realize that some people, when it comes to serving, they had a bad experience. Because when they stepped forward and said, yes, I'll serve at church, it meant 5 nights a week, 40 days of fasting, signing in blood that you will never, and you just realize, whoa, and about killed you. All right. Miracle Life is not interested in killing anybody. All right. But we do want people to be in their spots. All right. So the answer is not to stop giving, but don't allow yourself to be manipulated. Don't let somebody twist your arm. Don't allow people to put pressure on you. Look at Romans chapter 12. We have a stewardship. We have a stewardship that we are responsible to God for and towards other people. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Now, notice this. Paul is writing to an entire church, a big church, the church at Rome, okay? And he said that God has given to us. Paul is not having a pastor's conference. He wasn't having a gathering of apostles. He was talking to born-again believers in a local church, and he just put it out plainly, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. No one is left out. God did not pass over anyone. All right. Now, if you say, well, I'm not gifted, it may be, well, it absolutely is. It's dormant. All right. It may not have been discovered. It may not have been put into use yet, but there is a gift. There is a grace there. All right. So if God has given to you the ability, and then begins to list areas where God may have given you grace or a gift to do. If you have the ability to prophecy, to prophesy, or inspired utterance, that God helps you to say things by the Holy Spirit, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Verse 7, if your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Now, what you can see here is, how many of you know all of us give? All of us serve. But there are others that have a special gift to do it in an amazing way more than other people. And so while we're all called to give financially, there are people that God gives a grace or a gift of giving. And really one of their biggest purposes on the earth is to help finance the kingdom. To make lots of money and to give lots of it away. They have a grace for giving. Okay? And that's awesome. All right? And some of you say, oh, I want that grace. I'm not sure you want it. Because notice it's a grace for giving. It didn't say it was a grace for getting and keeping and hoarding. Okay? Obviously, you have to get it more before you give it. Verse 9. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy. Woo, that sounds like a 12-week series. I'm just kidding. All right, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always eager to practice hospitality. You know what that means? It means opening up your house, doesn't it? Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Bless those who persecute you. That's dangerous, isn't it? Dangerous prayer. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy. And weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. So something has been given, grace has been given, and then that passage talks about here's what it looks like when it's on display. Here's what it looks like when it is being, when it's helping someone else. A steward of God's grace, all right? So a gift that's been given to us is always to be used for the purpose that someone gave it to us for, all right? So it's not our money. And so if you gave your money to the bank or to an investor and say, hey, I want you to go do this. How many of you know they can't change their mind? They can't use it to send their kids to school because that's not why it was given. And so God, as the giver of grace, has a purpose for giving it, this serving grace into our life. And it's to say, hey, God, how do you want this used? How do you want this used? All right. When we were living in Johannesburg, we were there 10 years. The last 3 years, pastoring kept stirring and stirring and stirring in our heart. And I just assumed because we were permanent residents in South Africa. Our kids were in school. We owned property. I just assumed that we were going to pastor in South Africa. And it's a country that has huge needs, massive needs. And their need, they have so many needs for great churches. And so we just assumed that that was going to be the way it was. All right. And I'd already just kind of decided that. How many of you know assumption is not a good way to communicate with God or with people? All right. So I just kind of decided that. And so when God began to deal with us to come to Lusaka, I didn't want to come. And I told God to his face, I don't want to do that. I wasn't planning on this, God. All right. But how many of you know, here's the deal. He gave grace. So it is to be used as he decides, not me. Now here's the thing, and I don't know why we keep forgetting this about God, is that when he begins to lead you, it's so much better than you would have ever imagined. Oh, it's so much more fulfilling. As much as I like South Africa and I still love that country, oh, I'm so glad I'm in Lusaka. So glad I said yes to the Lord. All right. So God has a purpose for the grace that he gave to you. Discover it. Use it. Serve it. You've got to get that grace and you've got to aim it towards the purposes of God and towards helping someone else. God needs you. But what this passage also says is that we need you. The body needs you. All right. So God has given grace to help someone to grow. Aim it that way. All right. Now, I want to in the time that we have, we've got some time, but I want to specifically talk about some stuff at Miracle Life. All right. And if if you're serving in a ministry, keep serving, be a blessing. Amen. Don't go on a year's vacation. All right. If you've got something to do, go do it. Come back. We need you. Amen. All right. And if you need to shift and say, I just don't think that's where I'm supposed to be, or I can't come to worship practice, then come and be a greeter. All right. Find a place that's going to suit you. If you're not serving, serve. We need you. Get on the website. You can sign up. All right. But sorry. Hallelujah. But there's another area of Miracle Life where we really, really need, not everybody, but a certain group of people. One is in this area of hospitality. Hospitality. And that is, we have something here called connection groups, where we meet in homes, and it's not a 5-hour prophesying session. We learn how to apply the Word of God in our hearts. All right. We take the word that we heard on Sunday. All right. And we say, okay, how can I live that out in my life as a teacher, as a mom, as a business person, as a student? How can I live that out? All right. And right now we have people who are ready to lead and to help in that area, but we don't have homes that where we can have that. All right. And so we need some people to step up. All right. And you're just going to say, basically, you can use my living room. You can use my kitchen. And you say, oh, but it's not, you know, I haven't put the curtains up yet. It's okay. Neither have we. I need new tiles. No, just let 8 people come and be on the tiles that you don't like. All right. I don't have enough couches. Just go buy some plastic chairs. They will work great for an hour and a half. And you really have to decide, is it really that you don't want to, or is it pride? Because hospitality is not to impress somebody, it's to be a blessing to somebody. Amen? I've had some of the greatest hospitalities in this nation in homes that were not made of concrete. There were dirt floors. But there was a ministry of hospitality that happened to me while I was in that house. And I was blessed. And I was ministered to. And I was edified. Amen? So we need some folks to say, hey, you know what? I can do that. I want to open up my house for an hour and a half once a week. And that's kind of all you have to do. All right. If you have a dog with rabies, you know, put it out back, lock it up. Pastor Benjamin, I think that's about it. Right. I mean, there's not a whole lot of, if you You don't have to have a generator as long as you got two candles. Awesome. Amen. Load shedding hits, just turn on the candles and keep going. All right. I was in a small group the other day, and sure enough, boom, load shedding happened. We just carried on. No problem. No big deal. All right. But there are some people that say, you know what, I can do it. And what I'm letting you know is that we need you. We need you. All right. And the folks at Miracle Life who are in connection groups, things happen in their life in great, great ways. All right. Things just start clicking. They're connected. They're loving. They're serving. There are a lot less problems in your life. I'm not saying all your problems are going to go away. Join a connection group. All right. Sometimes your problems just get, you know, at least, but now you've got somebody who can pray with you about your problems. All right. But we need you to open your home. We need you. It might be a flat. It might be a kitchen. Whatever it is, we need you. Have you heard me? We need you. All right. We also need some people from Hebrews chapter 5. And that is, by now you should be a teacher. Okay. I'll never forget one of our, had someone on staff here, Pastor Williams' niece, Womba Kantamoya, and she went to China for a short-term missions trip, and she was ministering in home churches in China illegally, and she was ministering, just sharing the word. And she said, Pastor, and she told the church years and years ago, she said, I was so blown away of how nothing that they knew about the Bible, nothing. And she said, if anybody has been at Miracle Life for 6 months, they know more about the Bible than some of these pastors because they don't have access. And she was so blessed to go and share the word of God. Amen. And so if you are a person that, and what I would just say this is, you know, your Christian life is somewhat working. All right. You don't have five girlfriends. Okay. You're not on trial for anything. Okay. You love people. I'm not saying your life is 100% perfect, but you can help facilitate where people are going to pray for one another. Well, I'm not a pastor. Oh, no, but you don't need to be a pastor. You just need to love people, right? You need to give your life away. We will help you know what to do, what not to do. We'll coach you, we'll teach you, we'll help you. But we need you to step up, and we need you to put your hand up and say, I'm going to do that. Because there are people that are waiting to grow for you. And you know all the people that get saved at Miracle Life every Sunday? Isn't it really cool? We can't get them in a connection group because we don't have enough leaders. Oh, no, they're most of them are full. All right? We don't have room. All right? We need so many connection groups, so many awesome leaders that when people get saved, they're in your neighborhood and say, hey, come to my house. Join our group. And that's where discipleship happens. That's where growth happens. And they can ask maybe silly questions and people just love them and say, hey, man, here's what the Bible says. And they fall back into sin. Ah, but you love them and you restore them. And you show mercy to them. Amen. Their kids are in trouble. Ah, hey, I can help them with their schoolwork. You just start loving and serving. We would like that to happen, but we can't. Well, Pastor, you. No, I'm full. My wife and I love what we do. We work 7 days a week. Love it. Can't do anymore. All right? Ready getting gray hair. Okay? Plus, I'm cheating you on you becoming what God has for your life. Because really, by now, it's past due. Okay? Now, that's not for everybody. All right. And I really apologize if you became a member, you know, a few months ago. I'm really probably not talking to you, but I am talking to some folks that you need to add some meat to your milk. Need to put the video games down. Need to move out of mama's house. All right. And sometimes responsibility. Ooh, boy, I tell you, it'll grow you up fast. Because it's not just about you. There are so many decisions I make in my life have nothing to do with my freedom or I want or I need or I like beer or whatever. It has everything to do with you. Because I don't want to let you down. I don't want to do something stupid that will affect you. Well, but I'm free. I'm free to drink beer. Huh? Well, you're not free to be stupid.
Well, technically, Jesus turned the water into wine, dear pastor. Technically.
No. I don't drink because I don't want to hurt you.
Well, pastor, you technically...
No. I love you more than I love beer. I love you more than I love red wine. Way, way more. Easy. I don't have to have it. No, because it's going to help you. And so some of you, it's time for you to step into that area of your life. Because by now, you should be serving. You should be helping. All right? What's the next step? All right? For some of you, and I don't know how to tell you this, but probably as I'm talking about this, some of you just kind of feel a stirring on the inside. That's the Holy Spirit saying, hey. Or some of you, this reminds you of something that God told you 2.5 years ago. And you're like, I don't have time. You don't have time to help God? You don't have time to... And again, we're not going to make you do stuff that you don't want to do. We're not going to overburden you. But really, by now, it's time. Amen? So, when we dismiss today, on your way out, on the right side as you go, bookshop, go out those doors, and there's going to be tables, there's going to be people, and you can make two decisions. I want to open up my home, or I want to be a facilitator of a group. And that means you're the person who sits around the table to say, hey, why don't you pray? Why don't you read that scripture? Let's get together, and you lead. You lead at the office. You can lead in your home. You lead at the student group. You can do this. All right? It's not rocket science. Right now, but please understand that just because you sign up doesn't mean it's a guarantee. Okay? Because if you do sign up, right, and you've got 5 girlfriends, then we're going to say, it's not time. It's not by now. By now you need to get down to 1 girlfriend, okay? 1 wife. And that's great. And then we'll keep working with you as you mature. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we love you so much. Thank you that you created us in Christ to be a blessing, Father. And Father, the earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, the daughters of God. And Father, I thank you that, Lord, today there'll be certain things in your kingdom that won't have to wait any longer. Because, Father, I believe men and women that are hearing my message, hearing this today, Father, they are stepping into what you've asked them to do. Father, for some, they'll look back and say, my, that's what changed everything. That's what changed everything. Father, for others, there'll be such a satisfaction that they know that what you've put inside of them, they can help somebody else. They can help them grow. They can help them mature and figure stuff out from you, put their life together. Father, thank you right now for grace to obey. Grace to obey. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just while we're praying right now, I know God's stirring in your heart, but there are other people in this room that God's been dealing with you about certain things in your life. And what's held you back really is selfishness. See, when I didn't want to leave South Africa, it's because I had a house, I had things, had my friends, had this, had that. Okay? I had things. I wanted things. The whole barrier was me. Oh, I'm so glad I got over that. And some of you, God's asking you to start another business or expand or do this to make a difference in the community. Something. Oh, if I do that, oh, people are going to hate me. Oh, I'm going to get persecuted. Maybe in some area of service, or, but you know, God's been nudging you. God's been stirring you, and you know you need to do it. You know you need to do it. You know you need to do it. And make that consecration in your heart. Jesus, our master, wrestled with this. And he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Your will be done. Oh, he is a faithful high priest. He knows how you feel. He's been there. But aren't you glad that he laid down his will for the Father's will? what his flesh was recoiling, he accepted. And oh, he brought many, many sons to glory because of his obedience. And friend, as you step over that line of obedience, oh, the multitudes that will be helped. Oh, the lives that will be changed. The lives that will be changed. Will there be difficulty? Yeah. Will you be 100% ready? No. But God says, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am with you to the end of the age. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And you can trust him today. Father, right now, and I'm asking you right now, you don't need to come forward, but some of you need to make an adjustment in your heart right now to say, God, I'll obey you, God. Thank you, Lord. Some of you are students, and you're in a career path that is your mama's career path. Somebody told you to do it, and God's been dealing with you. That is not his plan for your life. Some of you are in a career path because it's a Mercedes-Benz career path. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Yeah, he wants you to drive. But he wants you to obey him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're dealing with hearts right now. You're dealing with hearts. And friend, let me tell you, eternity is in the balance. Not yours, somebody else's. Oh, there's such great fruit on the other side. Such great fruit on the other side. On the other side of your obedience. Such great fruit. If you only knew, it would be such an easy decision. Be such an easy decision. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. While heads are bowed and eyes closed, you're in this place. You say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus at all. I'm not in his family. And maybe you've been wrestling with this decision. Not about your career, but about making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And today is your day. Don't run away from God any longer. Run to him. He loves you and he cares for you. If you're backslidden, if you're far away from God, friend, today you can come home. You can come home to a father who loves you. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus. I need to be born again. Or I'm backslidden. I need to come home. Wherever you are right now, lift up your hand. Just lift it up real, real high. Just say, that's me. I'm coming home. I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ. Anybody? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Say, that was me. God bless you. Thank you. Who else? Over here? Yes, there. Awesome, awesome. Here's what I want to do. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's all stand to our feet. I know, apologize, we're running just a couple minutes late. But let's honor these decisions. And let's just support them and love them. But if you lifted up your hand, I'd ask you to grab your handbag, your Bible, whatever you brought with you to church. Just come and meet me up front. Just come and meet me up front. We're going to pray together. And it's a great thing to just say, you know, I'm stepping out of my old life. I'm stepping out of whatever was keeping me from this decision. And I'm publicly declaring my faith in Jesus. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much. Yeah, let's just give a couple more that are coming. Let's give them a hand clap. Let's just love them. Fantastic. Don't be afraid. Nothing bad's going to happen up here. We're not going to embarrass you. Awesome. Fantastic. Thanks for coming. God bless you so much. Now, if I wanted you to have this Bible, right? Yeah, you would just reach out. And so everything that God has for your life, it's a free gift. Now, you can't earn it. You can't buy it, but we can receive that by faith. So what I'd like to do is just lead you in a prayer that we'd open up our heart to him. So just lift up one of your hands and just close your eyes with me. And just say this. Say, Jesus, I believe that you love me. You sent Jesus Christ to die in my place. He was raised from the dead so I could know you. I give you my heart, my whole life. I choose Jesus. I turn away from sin, from wrong things. I follow you now. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in your family. Amen. 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 Now we have a